Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 9-5 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tito Ali Matt? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Big Mike. We're coming at you with a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm. We're going to call this CMT Firestorm Light because I'm rolling kind of light today. Partners in Crime ain't here. Hopefully we're about to get one of my other boys on, Mr. Tony Watley, and we can get down to it. Hold on one second. Mr. Watley, are you here with us?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you doing?
All right, man. I'm ready to get on and crack. And I was just telling them we're going to run down an episode of – I told them we're doing a CMT light tonight, you know, CMT light.
Okay.
So let's get things on and crack. And first of all, like I said, you know, my name is Mike Brewer, also known as Cali Mike, Big Mike, whatever you want to call it. We got Tony Watley on. We're about to get it cracking. I'm going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to kind of have like a freestyle tonight, you know, because it's kind of off-season. You know, we're kind of wild. It's, you know, getting hot outside. You know how black folks get when it get hot outside.
Lord.
The first thing I want to talk about is this DeSean Jackson signing with the Washington Redskins. He just signed. I don't know the full details of the contract. I know he's getting $8 million this year. He was only going to be getting $6 million with Philly. You know, he's going to be paired up with RG3 and, you know, Pierre Garçon and Alfred Morris. And, you know, this has a potential to be a high-octane offense. But this is the Washington Redskins, and we've seen them do high-profile free agent signings in the past that haven't quite worked. Robert Hainsworth, you know, so, you know, it is what it is. Tony, what do you think about DeSean Jackson signing with the Redskins?
I think it's a statement, first and foremost. I really think something crazy happened in that Eagles office, not in the locker room. It may have started in the locker room, but it ended in the office where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Honestly, personally, I believe that DeSean Jackson had a tight knit with Michael Vick. Now, this is my personal opinion. I think they were good. I think him and Vick clicked. And then when Foles came in, Foles started going to Cooper and other people and taking away his catches. And him and Foles didn't get along. Vick got cut. And with him and Foles not getting along, I think the front office, just like the coach said, you know, our offensive scheme has changed. And I really don't think him and Foles were getting along. I don't think he fit anymore because Foles wasn't going to throw to him. And they let him go. And I think he got very upset with that. And because he got very upset with that, he literally picked the Washington Redskins because they knew that was – he knew that that was their main division rivals, and he wanted to show them up for what they just did to him. And that's how I see it.
That's a really good point. I know you brought it up yesterday on the Cold Hard Truth, and I didn't get a chance to co-sign on it, but I never thought about it like that. He was really a proponent of Michael Vick starting. That was his guy, basically. So it's going to be, when Foles came in, things did change. So it's going to be interesting to see, how that's going to affect them. Do you think this was the best choice for him to choose the Redskins, though?
Well, I mean, he's 27. I don't know if you consider that young in the NFL anymore. I mean, Lord, it's like they're taking 18-year-olds now. But I think it could be a good choice in the fact that the Redskins are calling themselves putting together a dynasty. And if he can stick in there and stay with the team as Griffin gels and the rest of the team gels together, I think they can build that dynasty. I think they can literally take over the NFC East. And if they do that, then, I mean, they're the team to beat in the East.
Interesting. I'm looking here at the breakdown of his game logs of stats. It looks like you're right. It's weird. After the midpoint of the season, he only had 100-yard receiving game, and that was in Minnesota. He had a big game there. But other than that, he wasn't anywhere near, what his totals were. But the thing is, they only lost one game, and that was that game in Minnesota.
Right.
So I don't maybe they're thinking he's expendable. So
exactly, what happened.
They're going to have Jeremy Maclin coming back from injury next year. So, maybe they're
they won without him, and because they won without him, they saw him as expendable.
Exactly.
And, it's just one of those situations of where they ran the numbers and they said, look, we won without you, so we really don't need you. And I'm sure that upset him because he was very key in them getting – the wins up to Foles.
Yeah.
And, I really think that he was probably offended by the way that they treated him after what he had done for the team. And because he was very offended, he could have went anywhere in the NFL. But to me, that going to the Redskins says that he is out for vengeance. Because he's got to play him a minimum of twice. And it's for the same division that he was in. And I think that is his way of saying, I'm going to prove to you guys what you lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely going to have a chip on his shoulder. Hopefully he has a chance to make it come true. The Redskins, I don't know. Like I said, I've seen Dan Snyder, He signed a whole bunch of free agents before, and it very rarely, it didn't work out at all. It's kind of a disaster, back in the day when he signed Deion and Bruce Smith and all them cats,
At the same time, they were also in their – a lot of them guys were in their swan song. What I mean? They were already superstars and headed on the downswing.
Yeah.
This guy – is literally at the top of his mountain, and
he's a superstar, but this is also a superstar that's barely 6 feet, and what they say is like 140 pounds, 150 pounds. So
it's all about speed and hands.
But is
he might not be as tall as you, but if he can outrun you, he can get to the ball. That's all that matters.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I just think of, you know, cats are going to be headhunting him. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know. I like my number one, at least if he's going to be that size, I like it to be thick, like a Steve Smith, you know, be able to, you know, to take them, you know, the bumps and the bruises. I mean, you know, he had a banner year last year, but, you know, it's, you know, when you got, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I have to see how it's going to turn out. You know, I like Deshaun. You know, I might have liked to see him in a different kind of offense, you know, maybe,
right.
You know, but, you know, like, I'm just not certain of Washington. You know,
I agree. I mean, it was a shock to me. It really was. But I understand why he did it. I really do.
Yeah.
Because he's mad right now. Mm. And he is determined. He is going to prove Philadelphia wrong. And not only prove them wrong, make them pay for it by being the division winner of that division that they're in.
And also, one of the things that I saw was that apparently most of the deal was worked out directly, or at least this, you know, coming to Washington was worked out directly between him and Jay Gruden. Do you think that's going to be a good sign for Washington that they're letting their coach handle those type of decisions?
Well, I think this was more of one of those fire sales. It was more of one of those, oh my God, oh shit. Deshaun Jackson, get him on the phone. You know what I mean? It wasn't no time to do all of the other stuff because you go wasting your time trying to get all the ducks in order and he'll be gone. So it was one of those things, we got to do what we got to do now. So he called him. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I see you out there. We would love to have you. And I really think that's what it was. It was one of those spur of the moment. We got to act now. We really can't wait kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, what I think also factors into it, too, is Washington doesn't have a first-round pick this year. So,
right.
You know, they weren't going to be able to get a wide receiver. So, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it kind of, like I said, it could very well work out. You know, I hope it does.
They're a very young team. They're a very, very young team. And that's another difference between all of the other things that you say have happened in the past is all those other guys were older guys and been in the league a long time. This is a very, very young team. I'd say at an average 5 years for the entire team, you know what I mean, of being in the NFL. So they're a young team. They can gel together if they stay together. That's another problem is with all of the trading that goes on and all of that, you got to keep some of these teams together if you really want them to bond and build into a cohesive unit.
Exactly.
Too much trading going on. You know, if you want to be successful, you got to take the good stuff that you got and keep it. Not keep trading it for money. I think that's one of the problems I saw with teams like Washington is, you know, they had value, but instead of keeping it, they sold it. And, you know, that was a business thing. And they really, you know, it's all about where your priorities are. Are you trying to build a dynasty? Are you trying to build a bank account?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this definitely, like I said, I'm looking at the potential roster here. You know, that starting lineup, Griffin, Garcon, Jackson on the ends. You got Fred Davis, Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely going to be a Madden favorite, you know. Everybody's going
right.
to play them on Madden, you know. But hopefully
it's all about protecting RG3, though. RG3 got his ass handed to him last year.
Yeah.
They need somebody on that line to protect RG3. They need that offensive line solidified because if they don't, all of that money on the ends ain't going to matter.
Yeah, well, what they're going to have to do is they're also going to have to tell, you know, they're going to have to teach him to settle down a bit, you know, and stay in the pocket.
Right.
I'm going to be watching the progression of Trent Williams at left tackle. You know, he was, I think, a number three or number four pick, you know, when he came out of Oklahoma. So, you know, he's expected to be a franchise guy. you know, by now I think this is going to be his third or fourth year. So, you know, he should be coming into his own right now.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, they're just going to, you know, they're going to have to let him, you know, somebody's got to, you know, but, you know, we kind of went over this last season. Somebody's got to talk to RG3 and let him know, you know, you're not Superman, you know.
Right.
Like, you know,
and you shouldn't
know,
you're not as big as you,
you know, there's only
right.
one Cam Newton in the league right now who can kind of do that.
Stop trying to put everything on your shoulders. I mean, he tries
exactly.
so hard to carry the team. You know, we have hired people to help you. You don't have to carry this all by yourself. This is not college. You know what I mean? Because in college,
exactly.
he was their team,
yeah.
and he had to carry them. But this is not college, and you gotta let go of that mentality that you have to be the person that when crunch time comes, you have to carry the team. You know, for me, honestly, Kelly Mike, I think that is the Achilles heel of Peyton Manning. You know how I am about Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning was in a college environment and situation where when push came to shove, everybody, the coaches, the team, the fans, everybody expected Peyton to figure it out and make a way. And he got so used to always having to carry his team that when he got into the NFL and crunch time came, that's what he started trying to do. Let's carry the team. I got to carry my team. And people could read it and pick him off. And I think with RG3 at Baylor, he was the same way. And because he was the same way, he felt like he had to carry that team. Someone's got to get that mentality out of his head early, because if they don't, he's going to have great stats like Peyton, but he ain't never going to get those Super Bowls, because people are going to start reading him, and he's going to start throwing those interceptions in crunch time.
Okay, let's look at your boy here. You know, you're who you just mentioned, your favorite player from your Volunteer State and his team, Peyton Manning, and the Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. I was about to say, I'm gonna try to say Colts somehow. What do you think about them going? You know. Going into the off, what do you think about them this off season and going into next season? Do you think
they lost a couple of pieces? They are the team to beat in the AFC. They're the team to beat. I mean, anybody that says they're not is lying to themselves. The Denver Broncos are the team to beat in the AFC, and I know probably later on in the program we'll talk about Tom Brady, but. You know, since we're just focused on Denver right now, I see Denver as a team that is more of a, let's say, upper-level division playoff team, whereas I see New England as already up there and declining. I don't see Denver declining right now. They're still rising, but I see the New England Patriots declining. And to me, that's the two perennial teams in the AFC.
Okay, well, let's see. They've lost. They lost Sean Moreno. They cut Champ
Bailey.
They
can make that up.
Who else?
They can make that up.
I think they lost, what's the wide receiver's name?
The white boy.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I didn't want to say it though, but I can't think of his name. But they lost him. They did add Andre Caldwell.
Eric Decker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Eric Decker. You know, they added Andre Caldwell. Well, who can you know? Like I said, I believe he was a former first and second round pick that never really worked out. I think he went to your alma mater, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Good speed guy, at least you know you can get a good slot receiver out of him. And they added DeMarcus Ware, so you know that defense with Von Miller on one side. Well, I don't know if they're gonna play Miller and Ware on the same side, But that defense, you know, they could they got potential to be pretty nasty, you know. So I think that's something else people are going to want to keep an eye on. I like I say, you know, I think DeMarcus, I think he has more left in the tank, you know. I mean, he couldn't stay in Dallas in a certain situation, but, you know, I definitely wouldn't count him out, you know. I think he has a little bit more
left.
Yeah,
I I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I am not a Tony Romo fan, and I'm sure we'll talk about those teams later. But, you know, right now I think Denver is the AFC team that truly is the dominant team. And what's really sad is they're in the same division as Kansas City. If Kansas City were in another division like the AFC South, they would be dominant. But because they're in the same division as Denver, they're like the little brother. No matter how good they are, only one of them can win the division, and Denver's going to do it. It's just like San Francisco and Seattle. You know, they're going to keep fighting each other back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because they're in the same division. It's like the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. It's just when you have the two best teams in the same division, it just makes things crazy. And the reason why New England wins it every year is because they have absolutely no one to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be the easiest division in all of the NFL.
Yeah, it does seem like they kind of, you know, and they kind of, you know, especially last year, they you know, I didn't know how strong they were going to be. It seemed like they kind of cakewalked into the playoffs there.
And people wondered why I predicted what I predicted last year as far as how it would end up. You can almost predict the New England Patriots to win their division every year. I mean, that's almost a foregone conclusion, ain't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to look at it. You just go, okay, New England's going to win the AFC East. Why? Because they play the Jets, Buffalo, and Miami. And for the last decade, none of those teams have been worth a shit. So you just automatically assume New England's going to win it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
I mean, personally.
Yeah, now I want to go back to what you were saying about KC before we move on from them. What do you think they need to do to get over the hump to beat Denver? Do you think it's just a matter, I mean, are they just going to have to wait until Peyton Manning gets out of, you know, until he retires? Or, I mean, what do you think they could do, you know, maybe in this off season? Can they make a change? You know, what do you think can happen with the Chiefs? Because, I mean, like I said, they're a solid team. You know, like you said, it's just they just so happen to be in the same conference as possibly the best team in the league. You know, so I mean,
is the $10 billion question, and you really can't even say it was the defense because Kansas City had the top defense in the league before they played Denver and lost. They were undefeated. I mean, they have a solid defense. If anything Kansas City didn't have, they needed some help on offense. So the way that I'm looking at it, if they really want to beat Denver, they need about 9 more points on offense. Now, that might be a kicker. I know that sounds crazy, but what they're doing is they're getting themselves in these fourth down situations, and they're not making that field goal. You got to get the point every time you have the ball. If you get yourself within 35, 40 yards of the end zone, you got to have that kicker that can punch it through. If you can make up 6 points with a new kicker, then I really do think that they're much closer to beating Denver. because I really only think they're about 4 points behind Denver, but they're about 9 points from a Super Bowl. So
I've been looking at
a couple of different
mock drafts. Todd McShay has them taking Odell Beckham Jr. from LSU with their pick, and Mel Kiper has them taking Marquise Lee, both wide receivers. What do you think about that move? Like I said, I think every team could use more firepower, but is that really going to help if you have Alex Smith back there? You know, like I say, Alex Smith, you know, I've always been one of the people who've always defended Alex Smith. You know, like I say, he's not the best dude, but, you know, I mean, he's not the worst dude, but he's not the best. So do you think maybe, I mean, you know what I mean? Would it be a moot point to even give him more weapons, you know, because you kind of know what you're going to get out of him?
That is a great question. Like I said, I really see them needing about 4 points on offense to win their division and about 9 points on offense to win the Super Bowl. But for me, like you just said, and I mean, you nailed it, where do you get it? And where are you losing it? And you made a very good point. Their quarterback could very well be where they're losing it. And because Alex Smith is just, I don't know, he can be dynamic, but at the same time, he can be oh so average.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, that just, that's one of those things of where, it drives you crazy. So, you know, when I look at what they're doing or what they're projected to do in the draft, I understand it because you're trying to make up those 4 points. And if you can get closer or you can get that one more touchdown by getting a better receiver or whatever, I get it. But at the same time, like you were saying, if it's Alex Smith, the problem is not going to be solved anywhere else on that line or anywhere else on that offense until you solve the quarterback issue.
I'm behind the center, yeah. That's true. Well, it'll be something, you know, like I said, we'll monitor it, keep it on. You know, we got the draft coming up in a couple of weeks, so, you know, it'll be something we can monitor and see. I mean, you know, maybe they might make a trade. Maybe might bring in a quarterback to sit behind Smith for this season and come out next season. You know, a late first round guy, you know, something like that. You know, it'll be something to watch. I want to switch gears here. I'm looking at some information from Jadeveon Clowney. He had South Carolina, they had their pro day today. And
yeah, I'm watching it on ESPN right now.
Yeah, apparently Jadeveon Clowney blew it up. You know, from what I'm looking here, they say he walked on water, did the moonwalk and everything else. I mean, my goodness. From what I'm reading here, he ran a 4.5 and a 40. He vertical jumped 37 inches. Did 21 reps of the bench press. And did a broad jump of 124 inches. My math is kind of slow, but I know that that's over 10 feet, I believe. So, wow.
Yeah.
Man, is he the number one pick no matter what? By the way, while I was looking at Mel Kiper actually has Khalil Mack going number one. Most of the other drafts I've seen have Clowney going number one. I mean,
I can't say that. I really can't say. As much as he is Superman on that defense, so many problems are for Houston is not their defense. And I know that sounds crazy, but they are the number one overall pick this year. And honestly, the Houston Texans' problems are not on defense. I mean, they have been known for having a very solid defense. Their problem comes on offense. They keep having a running back and a wide receiver that everybody thinks are superheroes, but they are so prone to injury that you don't even know when they're going to be in or when they're not going to be in. then they got a quarterback that came in halfway through the season that nobody knows of, and you don't know what he's going to do this year. So they have so many issues on the offensive side of their team. I just cannot see them going with the defensive guy as their first pick. I just can't see it.
Jim, I could, the thought of him and J.J. Watt on the same line, I mean, I can't
think of when. Put it, when you're looking at that, also look at the fact that you are about to have the Indianapolis Colts that you have to play to win your division. Keep that in mind. If you do not get some offense, you will not win that division.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, to me, he's going to be the type of guy, somebody's going to lose their job over Jadeveon Clowney because somebody's going to pick him.
Whether you pick him or you don't pick him.
Somebody's going to miss out on him.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
they're
going to
be mad if you do pick him. Or they're going
to
be mad if you don't pick him.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, it's like you don't want to be the dude who missed out on Clowney, you know?
Okay, but at the same time, Andrew Luck is a beast.
Yeah.
You say what you want, Andrew Luck is a beast. And if you want to beat the Indianapolis Colts, you better get some offense. No ifs, ands, buts, ors, maybe.
Also, a good way to negate Andrew Luck is to make sure that he's on his back.
No, because he's one of those quarterbacks that is a mobile quarterback. Clowney ain't faster than, you know, with a couple of blocks on Clowney, Luck's out of there.
I don't know. That's what the
with a couple of blocks on
Clowney,
Andrew Luck is out of there. Andrew Luck will take off on you.
I don't think he's faster than
I didn't say faster. I said with a couple of blocks on Clowney. By the time he gets to Luck and Luck's taking off, he's tired. You know.
So are any of these quarterbacks even a number one quarterback? Neither one of them. None of them have had, you know, astonishing pro days. You know, even I think it was the coach from Minnesota. He came away saying that he felt underwhelmed by and he wasn't impressed with Johnny Manziel. So I mean, out of those guys, who would you take at number one?
Houston, you've got to go with Manziel. You don't have any choice. He's Texas born, Texas bred. They love him in Texas. If they don't take Johnny Manziel in the first pick, I'm telling you, they gonna have some barbecued coaches in Texas at the end of the year if the Houston Texans do not make the playoffs. I'm telling you what. That they've already fired the one coach, but I'm telling you, you let them not take Johnny Manziel as the first pick overall and then not make the playoffs next year. You are going to see some heads roll.
Okay, we got a guest here. I'm buzzing. Actually, this is Big Tex. He's calling us. He's at work right now, rustling up some cattle out there in the Lone Star State. He's calling us from the range right now, so we're gonna hear what he has to say about this Houston situation. What's going on, Tex?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, Tex?
This is how I feel. This is how I feel about the Texans. I think you need to take Jadeveon Clowney, and here's why. I do agree that you have to be able to score points in the league. But I look in Indianapolis. I don't see it as I need to outscore Indy rather than put Andrew Luck on his behind. As I see, man, I have to probably outscore Denver. You know what I'm saying? Or, man, I need a quarterback because I'm facing Seattle, San Francisco, and Arizona. You see what I'm saying? But I think you go Clowney. I think you have to take the best player available. You don't – when you draft for need, you end up like how how Jacksonville used to be, like how Oakland used to be, and what they're kind of trying to come out of now. You just have to take the player regardless. You have to take Clowney. You have to put him along that front with J.J. Watt. And if you don't have an opportunity to get a transcendent player at the quarterback position, you always — that's why I'm always like, Coy is quarterback and it's the pass rusher. You have to lay Andrew Luck down. You have to lay him down. You have to. And it's the same with the Rams. In that division with Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, if Clowney gets to the Rams at number two, you have to take him. You have to put Clowney, Long, and Robert Quinn out there, and you got to go after Kaepernick. You got to go after Russell Wilson, because Manziel and Bridgewater might not fix your offense to the point to where he'll be putting up enough points to outscore people. So if you're not going to do that, always, always try to lay these other quarterbacks out. And that's all I got, fellas.
All right, Tex. We'll get back with you later, man. Tex, you brought up some pretty good points. You know, it's like I say, I mean, I'm an old defensive lineman from back in the day, and, you know, to me, next to a quarterback, you know, you get a dominant pass rusher out there, it's, you know, it can rain chaos, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back to the days of, you know, when guys like Reggie White were out there, and, you know, and you had dominant defensive ends out there. I mean, a lot of these ends are good rush ends and good speed ends, but to get a good end with size and speed, you know, mm-hmm. that's a destructive force, you know, especially, you know, because he's disrupting the run game. He's getting in your quarterback face. You know, he's hurrying up plays. You know, even if he's not, you know, even if you look at Clowney, this season, even though he wasn't racking up the sacks, he was causing a lot of chaos. You know, and that's, you know, and that's — it's kind of like Richard Seymour, you know, when he was with the Pats, you know. He wasn't a real sack master, but he used to cause a lot of chaos coming off that line. You know, he'd be, you know, but when he, you know, I remember the game against the Raiders one time. They were triple teaming him, and he was literally batting dudes out of the way. It was ridiculous. And, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback and just, you know, just disrupting. He's just being a disruptive force. And that's, you know, that's what you get, you know, when you get a dominant pass rusher. And, you know, like Tex said, it's, you know, it's kind of weird. Both of the teams that are in those top two spots, Houston, St. Louis, you know, you put Clowney on either one of them lines and watch out. You know, they're already good lines already, but you put Clowney on those lines and it's like, my goodness, you know, you got
I'm
1990 Philadelphia Eagle-looking lines.
Right. I absolutely agree with what you guys are saying, but I see another flip side of the coin. And the other flip side of the coin is the money, is the entertainment side. While Clowney will solidify that defense, Manziel will fill that stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that when the owner is thinking, which one's more important to me? Because I don't know, and I'm just being realistic, I don't know how realistic Houston will be, but I don't know that even with Clowney, Houston has a legitimate chance of a Super Bowl run next year. That quarterback is not ready for that. I'm sorry. And because
no matter who they put under center, they're not making a Super Bowl next year.
Exactly. And because they are not at that level right now, you need to go entertainment. Get that boy in there and make that money. Because I'm telling you, I lived in Houston, and they drafted Johnny Manziel. I would be a season ticket holder because I'd want to go see that little boy run. The way he'd be breaking out of them holes and taking off, and I would want to go see it. I would want to go see
it. That was the same argument people were giving Jacksonville about your boy T-Boy. Nobody bit.
But T-Boy, we've already seen he's not productive. No matter how much he sits and everybody wants to like him because he loves the Lord, productive on the field is a whole different thing, and we know he's not productive. Johnny Manziel is a winner, and I think he will excite that team. I think he'll excite any team that he goes to. I don't think Bridgewater is an exciting player. I think he's a very, very functional player. I think he will make a team very productive. I think he goes well with a team like the Rams and other places. Now, I don't see him going to the Rams because, like Tex was saying, Clowney's going to go one or two. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If Houston takes Manziel at one, the Rams are going to take Clowney at two. And I do not see Clowney going down to three because I don't see two players in the draft better than Clowney, period.
What about your boy from UCF, man, Blake Bortles? A lot of, you know.
Are you kidding? Come on now.
Getting on quarterback, you know, that's what they look for, standing tall. It's been said,
whatever.
You know, they
he
said,
played
they said
in
the
USA
Texans owner
conference.
Liked him too, so.
He played in the USA conference. He played a bunch of cupcakes. All right, if you're
they
the King Cupcake,
Bowl.
Big deal. That don't mean you're going to be good in the NFL.
A lot of people are saying that they were the second-best team in the state of Florida.
Boy, you got jokes.
I'm
you
just
got
saying.
Jokes.
I mean,
that's
technically,
funny.
Weren't they? FSU won the championship.
Funny.
They won a BCS game. I mean, you know.
That is hilarious. You got jokes.
I mean,
it's good to
like
see
I
that
say,
you still
know.
Held on to your sense of humor over the offseason there.
I'm thinking they could be problem for some of the lower echelon teams from the state of Florida. You know, teams like
FSU.
You know, teams. I'm talking about teams in the lower, you know, in the lower part of Florida. You know, when you rank, if you rank all the teams in Florida, I'm talking about teams on the lower end, like a USF or a UF. You know, them type
ooh,
of
teams. Ooh, 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 ooh. Did you really go there? All right.
I had to,
I
man.
Feel
y'all
you.
Were too garbage this year. And I haven't been hearing good things coming from y'all this offseason either. I'm gonna get into that maybe in a couple more shows. I'm going to have an offseason wrap-up for college football. But I haven't been hearing too many good things about y'all offseason either. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I
really
got to see more of these guys.
I really do think Manziel is going to go first. I mean, I'm – you know me, I'm usually one of those people say, put me on the record. I'm not on the record with this one. I just kind of feel like Houston knows that they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. And because they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender this year, they need to focus on the excitement factor for the team. And Johnny Manziel brings much more excitement than Davian Clowney does to that team.
Yeah. I mean, I like Manziel. You know, like I said, I like him. It's just, you know, like I say, if you draft Manziel number one and then Clowney, you know, becomes what everybody thinks he becomes, you lose your job. You know, it's simple. You know?
I do not agree in Houston now because no matter what Clowney becomes, if Manziel becomes what everybody thinks he's going to become, then you did a good job. Because everybody's expecting high things from Manziel.
The buzz around Manziel has been dying down a lot, you know. Like I say, people are kind of getting kind of cool on him, you know, a lot. I've seen him going as low as, like, you know, mid first round, late first round in some mock drafts. You know,
oh,
people are kind of getting
no.
cool on Manziel.
You don't fail and bump your head. There is no way There is no way that he drops out of the top 10.
I've seen it happen. You know, people are getting really cool on him. Like I say, you know, from what I understand, you know, he didn't impress a lot of people at his pro day. Some people were turned off by the way he did it, by having music and, you know, and all this other stuff. And, you know,
well,
I mean, he, you know,
I will
his,
tell
imme-
you
his
this
immeasurables
right
were
now.
Good. You know, but
the
I
top
mean, it's,
10 teams in the draft, if all 10 of them pass on Johnny Manziel, they will all have a horrible season. There is no way you can have a Johnny Manziel in the draft and pass on him. There's no way.
I don't think he's going to drop out of the top 10 because I'm pretty sure that the Raiders are going to pick a quarterback now that they've said that they're not going to pretty much the Terrell Pryor's on his way out of there. You know, which kind of makes me mad because, you know, it's like, why are you, you know, to me, you don't tell a guy that he doesn't have a chance to be a starter. To me, everybody should have a chance to be a starter. You know, but from what I heard, you know, they told Pryor he doesn't have a chance to be a starter. So, you know, he's been, you know, he's asked to, you know, get his bags and, you know, pack his bags and go. So, you know, to me, you know, like I said, the Raiders are definitely going to be looking for a QB. We know Minnesota's, you know, from what we've heard, they're going to be looking for a QB. Then you also got Cleveland, you know. Then you also, you know, got a – well, it's funny. I believe Cleveland was the only team that didn't show up for Manziel's pro day too, I believe, if I'm remembering things right. Then, you know, you got to also have the Texans, and, you know, some people are saying that St. Louis might get a quarterback, Jacksonville. So, you know, I don't think he slides out of the top 10, but, you know, I've seen it – you know, I've seen projections that could happen. You know, nobody's projecting him as an elite. You know, he's not Andrew Luck, Cam Newton. You know, he's not that elite number one. This is our guy, where, you know, we're going to sign him 3 weeks before the draft even happens. You know, and it's looking like
Clowney
is that guy.
Come on, you
got to
admit, Mike, you got to admit the excitement factor. Name a player that's come to the draft that excites you more than Johnny Manziel?
It'd be tough to. I mean, like I said, I'm a defensive guy, so I get excited by looking at the defensive linemen. So I ain't gonna lie. I mean, that's what I used to play. So I watch that. So me seeing,
right,
you know, Jadeveon Clowney coming off the end, that's what I'm gonna be focused on. I mean, to me, you know, it's not, you know, especially when you got Andre Johnson, you know, you got that. You're gonna have Arian Foster there, so it's not gonna have to be the Manziel show, where he's gonna have free reign to get back there, and, you know, they're not gonna need him to do all that. They're not gonna, you know, he's not gonna have free reign to be running around and doing
what
he wants.
It does matter though when that pinch comes and he starts that little jiggle he does and moving around, they're gonna love it. They're gonna love it.
I don't know. Plus, you know, they got a Houston guy in there right now. They got Case Keenum in there, you know. And I had a feeling they were going to give him a shot. So I don't know. I think they might give him a shot again this year.
No, not over Johnny Manziel.
Well, we'll see. You know, we'll definitely see. But I want to move a little bit farther down the draft ladder there. I know that, like I say, I know you watched the national championship game. I did. Now there's a kind of a debate going on between Greg Robinson of Auburn and Texas A&M's on Jake Matthews. If you were on the clock and say you were St. Louis or Jacksonville, which more likely where either one of them's going to land, who would you take?
Come on now, that's not even a question. That's not even a question. Greg Robinson is the man. Could you
see
that last year?
I would take Matthews.
Come on. Yeah. Did you not look at what Auburn did last year?
They did,
but let
me bring up this point. The majority of that was done was a run off. You know, that was pass rushing. I was run blocking, you know. So, I mean, like I say, we haven't really got to see his extent of, you know, his pass blocking skills. You know, we know what Jake, like I said, Jake, you know, Matthews was going to be an offensive lineman, you know, since he came out of his mama. You know, that's what the Matthews do. You know, they're linemen. Either you're going to be on the D-line or you're going to be on O-line. You know, but, you know, this Greg Robinson, you know, he's just shot up so quick. And like I said, this is a team that runs the ball, you know, 80-90% of the time. You know, they didn't even pass the ball in the championship game, in the SEC championship. So, you know, I don't know. You know, there's question
Come
marks about him.
Now.
I mean, physically, he's all that. You know, like I said, he dominated in the national championship game. He was a force, but, you know, he was mostly a force getting out there on runs. You know, he was very good on getting to the second level. He looked like he even got to the third level a couple of times with blocks. But, you know, like I say, this is a passing league, you know, so you got to show, you know, you got to show you can do that pass blocking. And I just,
for me, if, again, yeah, I hear all about Matthews, but if I had to go, I would say Craig Robinson. That's who I would go with, because the guy is just, I mean, if you look at his stats, you look at his size, you look at his reach, he ran like a 4.9 in the 40. I mean, for his size, what he does, he's a monster.
You know, Greg, I'll tell you, Greg Robinson, he reminds me a lot of Robert Gallery. He reminds me of a good physical aspect guy, but he reminds me of somebody that might not even be playing left tackle in a couple of years. I could easily see him, you know, being a right tackle or, you know, or moving to some other position on the line, kind of like Gallery. He reminds me of that type of guy that where, you know, I just can't see him, you know. I mean, like I say, it could happen, but, you know, I don't know. I just get a feeling it's like, okay, this dude isn't going to be a left tackle in a couple of years. He's going to move right, or he's going to be one of these utility lineman guys and, you know, try to play a little bit of guard and this and that, you know, kind of like
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see but maybe two or three offensive players, I mean, that are not linemen going in the top 10. Manziel, maybe. What is his name? Watkins, the dude from Clemson.
Sammy Watkins, yeah.
Ain't that his name, the receiver?
Yeah.
I see him as being an offensive guy that might go in the top 10. And maybe Blake will go. But other than that, it's going to be all offensive and defensive linemen in the top 10. Because so many teams, especially the bad teams, need lines. Offensively or defensively, they need strength on their lines. And I just don't see too many of those teams focusing on offensive players that are not linemen.
So you don't see Bridgewater as being a top 10 guy?
Well, like I said, it'll be Broyles or it'll be Bridgewater, but I don't see them both going in the top 10. I see Manziel going in the top 10. I see the receiver, the guy from Clemson. Damn, why do I keep forgetting his name? What is his name? Ain't it Watkins or something like that?
Sammy Watkins, yeah.
Watkins or something like that.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins.
And because that man is a beast. He got the hands. So I see him going in the top 10. Him, Manziel, and maybe either Broyles or Bridgewater. And that's it. I think the other seven picks are going to be offensive and defensive linemen.
Interesting. It's interesting. I mean, like I said, very, very well could be. You know, you're going to get guys, you know, like Taylor Lewan out of Michigan, you know, those kind of guys, you know, could very easily jump up into, you know, that
I totally agree.
You know, top 10 status.
And
so, you know, it's going to be a something.
We ain't heard no Alabama players even talked about. And I think
well, not your boy. We know whose boy he is, Clausell's boy. He he has been falling down kind of.
I think
of.
Dix or something like that from Alabama, the safety.
I think Dix
goes in the top 10.
Dix, you know, Dix, like I said, what I think about Clinton Dix is I think he's a good player, but, you know, look at what's been happening with Alabama DBs lately. You know, they haven't been, you know, that good. So, I mean, I look at a guy, for a value guy, I'd look in the second round, even late first round, and look at a guy like LaMarcus Joyner out of FSU. You know, he can play either cornerback or safety. And I'm really big on him. So, you know, I look at him as being,
you know, that
more
for
of
me
a
in the top 10, I really think they're going to pick offensive linemen. And when you start picking offensive linemen and defensive linemen, you got to go with the SEC. I know that sounds biased, but come on. I mean, we are the elite division. We are the elite conference. And when you start picking, you better start picking from the SEC because we got them big boys on them lines.
I don't know. I mean, the top offensive linemen usually come from the Big Ten.
No, not this year. Like I said, to me, the top offensive lineman is Robinson from Auburn. To me, that's who I would go to with. The top offense, and you're saying Matthews, that's SEC, Texas A&M.
Hold on. Let me say this right now. Matthews, Johnny Manziel, anybody that was on A&M's team when they were still in the Big 12, I do not consider an SEC football player.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
I want to say that right now.
Come on now. Really?
Anybody that was on that team when they were in the Big 12 is not an SEC football player.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to get that out of the way right now.
Watch your step there, Callie Mike. I think you slipped and bumped your head.
You guys will take credit for any.
You need a mop.
You want to take credit for somebody else.
The floor where you're at must be wet.
Y'all take credit.
Where you're at must be wet. So what you're saying is Texas A&M is a Big 12 team playing the SEC right now. Is that what you're saying?
No, this is their transition year where they turn into a SEC team.
Oh, wow. So last year when they beat Auburn, they were a Big 12 team that beat Auburn. I mean Alabama.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
this is
that's
their
a good
year.
One.
They're a transition team. Like I say, they're – you know, this is their transition year to the SEC. All these other players were Big 12 players. There are guys
you know
who played
what?
When they were
I'm,
in the Big 12,
I'm,
and they were on
I'm
the team
booking
when
you
in
at
the
improv.
Big 12 guys.
I'm calling some friends, calling in some favors. You're going to get booked at the improv because
you
were doing
like
a great
said,
job
you know,
of telling jokes tonight.
Like I said, that SEC stuff is, I mean, look at what happened in the bowl games. You know, everybody acts like they didn't see it. Auburn lost. Alabama lost. I know you guys don't like that,
oh,
but it happened,
wow.
And nobody wanted to talk about it.
Wow. But what
Am
about for the 6 years prior to that?
I don't want to live
six
in the past.
Straight.
I don't want to live in the
Hello,
past.
Six straight years.
I don't want to live in the past.
Six. Yeah,
you know,
I know.
You know,
I understand.
It's going to be what it's going to be, you know. But
I think that as far as conferences, the SEC always seems to get the most linemen put into the league.
I remember
when the University of Tennessee used to be called Linebacker U.
I don't know. Besides, I don't know about that. I think I maybe know maybe two linebackers that can. Well, Tennessee's never been called linebacker. First of all,
yeah.
Only two schools I've ever heard been called that. Well, actually, really, it should be three schools. You only heard Penn State be called that. Then you can also say that for Miami and USC. No other school could be called linebacker.
No other school can be called
running back. You and no other school can be called quarterback. You.
Oh my God! So USC is just predominant, right? Come on, give
like
it
I
to
said,
me.
I said, I've only heard those schools be called linebacker.
That.
You.
Let's discuss that. So USC is just the dominant school in all of in NCAA football, right? Tell
when
me where they've been for the last
players, when you talk about
six
sending
years.
Players to the NFL.
7 years. Where they been? Where they been?
When you talk about sending players to the NFL, there's two schools, and they're both on different sides of the country. One is the University of Southern California. The other is the University of Miami. That's it. Actually, in the middle, you have University of Texas. Texas is
Boy,
behind both.
You know what?
That's just the way. I mean, it's been proven. It's been how many documentaries does NFL films and these other ESPN and Fox Sports need to make about? Those are the football factories.
Hey, I need to jump in here. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I had to jump in here, man. That is ridiculous.
Oh my goodness,
what you
this
just
is
said.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm listening. I'm studying, but I'm listening to you guys show at the same time. But that's ridiculous, man. You talking about
thank
Tennessee
you.
Is linebacker U? Tennessee is not no linebacker U.
Okay,
now, they've had good players.
Yeah, Lisa, okay, I thought you were going to ask about this. Okay.
I'm going to get to you in a second, Callie Mike.
Oh,
yeah, Tennessee is great. They've had great players, but they're not linebacker U. And the best team, the most dominant team in the history of college football is Alabama. Do we have more national championships than any other school in the country? That's fact.
You do?
With the New York Yankees. We're the New York Yankees of the college football. That's what Alabama is. And we don't get the credit that we deserve. I mean, it is what it is.
I'd like to tell a story real quick. I watched this documentary. It came on ESPN. It was about University of Alabama. It appears that, I guess, in the South, you guys used to have this thing called segregation, something like that.
Oh!
And apparently, a school from the West Coast came to Alabama and beat the crap out of you guys.
Oh.
It integrated your school for you.
Oh!
No.
What school was that, Clausel?
Were you talking about one little frizzly game with Sam Cunningham? We have more national championships. We have more national championships before and after integration. So you can count it. It's before and after integration. Now, if you want to talk about Notre Dame, they have most of their championships before integration, but Alabama has a bunch of championships before and after integration, so it doesn't even really matter.
No, they don't.
Yes, we do. We have like 6 or 7 national championships after integration. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
78, 79, 92, and we just won 3.
78, 79.
Right?
Those are shared championships.
We won 2 national championships in a row, 78 and 79.
Those are shared championships, and they're disputed. USC beat you that year. I proved that to you already.
We won the national championship. It doesn't even matter. So the point is,
USC
two
beat
national
you
championships.
And went undefeated in the same season, and they
so did Alabama win a national championship? Yes or no? Alabama won a national championship. All right. So they have more
national
championships.
Championship with US. We already
we have more national championships than USC does ever since that time frame. Okay. So don't, I mean, it is what it is, man. Alabama's the most dominant, and really, Manziel. And back to Watley's point, Manziel. If you want that star power, you want that box office factor, you do want to get Manziel in the top 10. I don't think he'll go out the top 10, but I do not think he's going to go number one. But we all know who really was the best quarterback in the country last year. You know who that was, Wiley. I don't even need to say his name.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so
yeah, cut
it
in
is
Mike,
what it is.
Please.
He's going to be better than all of them.
Please.
All right, I'm going back to studying. I just want to put that out there. You guys have a good one.
Oh,
I'm listening.
Goodness.
Man.
I'm listening. All right. Peace.
That was ridiculous.
I know.
This is why I don't talk to people from Florida.
That was definitely a commercial section.
It was a stunt. Was what it was.
Oh, my goodness.
An outrageous stunt. Like, that's why I don't talk to people from Florida.
I mean, before he got off, he should have said, this message paid for by the University of Florida at
Tallahassee.
Man, tell you, when I left FAMU, I left all my stuff there because I didn't want any remnants of Florida with me. I left everything there. It should all still be in storage there. I didn't pay my storage bill either. So it should all still be there. Everything should still be there. But anyway, like I was saying, I mean, you know, the SEC, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, what SEC fans have to realize is, one, you know, nobody else reps a conference except for you guys. Everybody else only worries about their team. SEC are the only people who I know worry about a conference. And second
because
of all, like
we
I said,
are,
I admit,
we,
you guys,
we are a family. We are a family. You guys
you know,
don't understand
like
that.
Like I say, when you have real rivalries, you'll never hear any USC fan join forces with a UCLA fan or a Notre Dame fan. It's never going to happen.
Okay, but that's because you're not a family. You know, that in a family, you can fight with your brother, but better not nobody else fight with your brother. We are a family. We are an SEC family.
That might be true. I have heard some rumors in the South about you guys all being related. I don't know. That might be true. I'll look into that a little bit later. But
anyway. See, I told you, improv. You're doing good tonight.
Yeah, I'm on a roll. But
you're on a roll.
But like I said, let's talk about this dude's quarterback for a little bit. Let's talk about these Florida State Seminoles.
I can't do it. It's going to make me sick to my stomach.
I mean, you know, knowing what they've gone through, you know, they just came off a national championship. They're losing some key players. They're losing a starting left tackle, losing both starting running backs, losing arguably their top wide receiver, a couple of defensive players, guys like LaMarcus Joyner. You know, these kind of schools, they always rebuild. But would it be safe to put them as that preseason number one, do you think?
Well, you know, since we are having to talk about the women's college in Tallahassee, I would say that if it were up to Clausell, the sophomore cheerleader would carry the whole team on his shoulders, and they would win it all again.
It's possible. You know, I can't deny it. Duke can play, but I'm just saying, you know, you got a quarterback who's going to spend his off season playing baseball. You know, I'm going to have to see what they do. You know, like I said, I get kind of weary about, you know, doing the preseason number one for teams anyway.
Yeah,
so,
I don't like the whole idea of having a preseason anything in NCAA. I think you need to put the rubber to the road, let some teams play each other, just like they hold off on the BCS. I think you should hold off on ranking teams until after they've played a couple of games. I mean, even after they've played their first game. But don't preseason anybody, because to me, when you preseason teams, it makes certain teams determined to be number one at the end, and it makes certain teams determined to be out of the national championship. Because when you put an Auburn and an Alabama at 1 and 2, you know Auburn has to play Alabama. So you know you just made sure one of them is going to be out of the national championship. And I think that's wrong. I think you should wait until teams start playing each other and then rank them.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't even see the landscape of college football being the same as it's been. I mean, you know, I don't want to get too much into the we might as well. But like I say, you know, it kind of goes with, you know, what Ward said, you know, when he was referring to the Deshaun Jackson situation, that football itself isn't going to be the same in the next 20 years. I don't see college football being that way either, just because, you know, there's so much of a money aspect in it now. I mean, you know, people, you know, they start talking about these super conferences, you know, about 3 or 4 seasons ago, and, you know, nobody really thought it was going to happen. But, you know, now you've seen the SEC, you guys got, what, 15, almost, you know, 15 teams now. You know, you got, you know, the Pac-10 is the Pac-12 now. Big Ten got 12 teams. You know, so it seems like, you know, this very, you know, easily could become a reality. And I think once you have, if you get, you know, four major conferences, you know, that are just standalone conferences, I think it would eliminate the need for preseason, because then you just go off the conference, you know. It's just, you know, like, you know, just whoever the conference, you know, basically how these playoffs should be, that they're going to be setting up. I think if you eliminate, you know, combining the conferences, it'll do it naturally to where, you know, your conference champion, you know your conference, you know, that's who you send to the playoffs, you know, and then you have your four teams or, your four or five, maybe six teams, then you have your playoffs from those teams. But, you know, I've never been a fan of the preseason rankings. Like I said, it favors the SEC, no matter what anybody wants to say. You'll usually get, you know, three or four teams in the top 10 preseason ranked to the SEC, and they'll beat the crap out of the lower-ranked teams, and they'll keep these high rankings, you know, while you have other schools, you know, they'll start, you know, 14 and 15 and have to work their way up, which is almost impossible now. Well, it was impossible the way the BCS was set up. But, you know, that's just the way I view it. You know, like I said, everybody views it differently.
I can tell.
You know, but that's the way I view it. I mean, I could, you know, show proof to back it up that, you know, you look at the preseason rankings. That's, you know, that's how it goes. You know, and I used to get Clausell, and I'd show him. I'd be like, look, this SEC team isn't going to be ranked. You know, remember that year, what was it, Georgia? I think they had got all the way up to, like, number three or something like that, and then they ended the season not even ranked. Remember, it was like 2 years ago, wasn't it? You know?
But, it's amazing how you talk all of that crap, and you can do all of that because, you know, your USC Trojans are always going to be ranked. So, you know, it's amazing how you can talk all of that because they're in that cupcake conference out there in the West where they're always going to win it. And because they're always going to win it, you ain't got to worry about rankings because they're always going to win their cupcake conference.
Oh, boy. So, okay. See, that's the other thing.
Exactly.
Every other conference but the SEC conference is a cupcake conference. Don't you guys get tired of saying that?
Come on. Help me know.
Especially when you see all the talent that comes from other parts of the country.
Come on. The Pac-12, ain't it the Pac-12 now? What do they call it now?
Especially what you see.
It ain't the
Pac-10
no more. What is it? It's the Pac-12 now, ain't it?
Yes, it's the Pac-12, yes.
All right, so let's talk about the Pac-12. Of the
Pac-12,
how many Pac-12 teams have won a national championship since 2000? 14 years. Since 2000, in the last 14, in this millennium, we're not going back past this millennium. We are in the 21st century. So in the 21st century, how many Pac-12 teams have won a national championship?
One.
Okay, can you give me the name of that team?
Wait.
Can you give me the name of that team?
USC?
Amazing how that works, ain't it?
Won a national championship.
Amazing how that works, ain't it? Cupcake.
Do I need to say it anymore,
or do you want me to put some frosting on that cupcake for you?
Boy,
in the last 14 years, you've got one team that's done anything. Yeah, every year we hear all this noise about Oregon, and then they fall apart. Every year they fall apart. We hear this noise about Stanford, and they fall apart. Every year,
Oregon got blown out, and they fall apart. They lost by 3 frigging points.
All it takes is losing by one. It don't take three. It takes one.
And that constitutes you falling apart?
Yes. Yes, that constitutes you falling apart. If you can't hold it up and win it, you fell apart. How many times has your Pac-12 won a national championship?
I can name 2 years the SEC didn't deserve to make it to the national championship. and would have gotten beat.
Oh my goodness.
And they would have gotten beat by USC.
Oh, my goodness. 2008
Florida Gators team.
Oh, my goodness.
And that 2003 LSU team.
Oh, you know my goodness. Listen to you. Listen to
and
you.
They would have gotten beat by USC.
You sound like one of those guys that just got a vasectomy.
My goodness.
Stop making excuses. Stop
like
making
said.
Excuses.
I mean,
you're making
like
excuses
said, no
for
excuse,
that Cupcake
just...
Conference.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Just admit, USC is the only team that's got a set of balls in that conference. Stanford's got a ball. Oregon's got a ball and a half. And the only team in that whole conference that has two of them is USC. Period. Everybody else is playing with none. They're not bulls, they're cows. It's that simple.
Yeah.
In the SEC, we have at least six bulls. At least, because since 2000, we've had six different national champions. Six.
You have?
Yes. You want me to count them for you?
Yes.
Tennessee, first one.
Tennessee
LSU.
Won a national championship since 2000?
Yes, in 2000, Tennessee won the very first BCS national championship.
In 1998.
The Tennessee Volunteers. Look it up. Google it.
That wasn't in 2000.
Google it. In 2000, Tennessee won the national championship.
That was not
Look
in 2000.
Look it up. Google it. That was 2000.
That was not in 2000. No, it wasn't.
All right. Anyway, can I keep going? Tennessee, LSU.
Dude, Oklahoma won the national championship in 2000.
Auburn, Florida. What? Say that again.
I said Oklahoma won the national championship in 2000.
Then it was 99-2000, January 2000.
FSU won the championship in 99-2000.
I'm not
Eight
looking at stats.
Bowls.
I know Tennessee was the first BCS champion.
What did you just say? What?
I'm not on Google. I'm not looking it up.
I'm not
what
on
I'm
Google either.
You
I'm
is
on common
the
sense.
Tennessee Vols was the first BCS championship team. Whatever
That's
year
very
that
good.
Was,
when I was in high
Tennessee
school,
won it.
When I was in high school, Tennessee was very good. That's good. Actually, you did it. You got me now. You did it. All right.
King. Can we go back to the teams that have won a national championship? Like I said,
no.
We're talking about bulls versus cows. I'm giving you bulls in the SEC.
You got LSU,
compared to
you got
your
LSU,
cows
LSU,
in the
Alabama,
Pac-12.
And Florida. You got LSU, Alabama, and Florida, and Auburn.
Tennessee
okay, you got four...
and Auburn.
Man.
Add it
okay.
up.
Okay, Tennessee. If you want to, okay. Even though we're no longer going by your rules, but okay. If you want to add Tennessee in there, okay. Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Then let's change the rules. Since the BCS started in the BCS era,
that's how we usually do things
when
you're wrong.
In the BCS era.
Okay.
No, does that help your cows out there in California?
Because
if it does, I'm more than willing to let you have it.
No.
I didn't
like I
think
said,
it did it? No, that didn't help you because
like I said, when you
that
look
just
at,
helped
okay,
USC
okay,
be
let's,
in
let's,
it again,
let's,
right?
Let's be real. Can we both agree on this? The BCS was by far no means perfect.
Okay, but the BCS was also by far dominated by the SEC.
Okay, I'll admit that. Can you admit that the BCS was biased in the SEC's favor?
Absolutely not. How?
See, we're almost getting progress. We're almost getting progress.
Okay, well, then you tell me how it was biased.
Preseason rankings.
Oh, my. Okay, and you're going to tell me USC
you just,
did not benefit from preseason rankings?
Huh?
You're going to tell me USC did not benefit from preseason rankings?
USC is one school,
was number
bro.
One every single
USC is one
year.
School. Okay, let me explain it to you. When you have five, when you say you have five or six teams that are preseason ranked very high, and then they all play each other, some one of those teams is guaranteed a trip to the national championship.
Okay, so in other words, when you say that, you are saying that Oregon, who is always in the top 10, Stanford,
no,
who is always in the top 10,
no,
and
not.
USC, who is always in the top 10,
no,
one
not.
Of those three cupcakes is going to be in the national championship. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, those schools do usually make it to the BCS Bowl, but no, that's not what I'm trying to say,
because
neither
exactly,
of them are usually ranked,
because of
ranked in the top
rankings,
10.
Right?
They have to struggle to get to the top 10.
Are you kidding? USC is always in the top 10.
USC wasn't in the top 10 last year. What are you talking about? Oh, wait, no, yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
they
were in the top 10 the year before that. They were in the top 10 the year before that. That's because they won 10 games.
They were
in the top 10 the year before that.
They were on probation.
Exactly.
When USC has not been on probation, they have
Oregon.
Been in the top 10. Matter of fact, they've been in the top 5.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Doesn't it tell you something if these teams that you're naming have been in the top 10, but they keep getting held out of the national championship game and
well,
have to
don't
go
get
to other
keep,
BS bowls?
They don't get keep held out. They keep getting smashed by the SEC. There's
no,
a difference.
Smashed. They're having the same records as SEC schools, and they're just not getting in the bowl game. There's a difference.
Oh, wow. The SEC gets two bowl games. They get two bowl games. The SEC champion, if they don't go to the national championship, gets a bowl game.
If they don't
and
go to the national championship,
and then if there's an SEC champion in the championship games, they get that bowl game. That's the only two BCS bowls that the SEC is guaranteed.
Dude, do you realize
you
that we had a bowl game?
Anything else?
Do you realize that 2 years, a couple of years ago, we had a national championship where two SEC teams played each other?
They were the best teams in the country. Name one team to beat LSU or Alabama that year.
I'm sorry, what did you say? My phone went out.
Name one team
that
could have beat
anyway,
LSU or Alabama.
Anyway, let's move
one.
On. We're getting too much into this SEC Pac-12 stuff. It's getting
exactly.
redundant.
Exactly. See, you want to avoid the truth.
Let's move. That's not that might okay. I'll admit it. See, I got no problem with admitting stuff. I'll admit that year those were the two best teams in the country. That year, I'll admit that for that 1 year, and that's it. None of the other
all
stuff
right.
I admit to or agree with. I'll admit it for that year, and that's it.
Okay, I'll give you that. But,
like I said, let's move on. I want to. What's next? What was I thinking about?
Michael Vick. We got to talk about Vick.
Okay, we can go into Vick. I don't know. Oh, I was going to ask you guys about Tampa, too. We can go into both those. We got some time left. The deal with Vic, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing because I don't believe in Geno Smith. You know, I wasn't really big on him before he got drafted. I wasn't big on him during the season. He's just, you know, like I said, he played real cupcakes. And, you know, and he can't, you know, and he never really struck me as everybody was talking about he was going to be a number one pick, this and that, you know. He never really struck me as that kind of guy.
And you agree.
Exactly. Okay. I do know, I'll give it to Geno, though, the Jets do have a lot of deficiencies. I don't see how they didn't sign DeSean Jackson. But they have a lot of deficiencies. Their wide receiving core is, I'd say they're the worst in NFL, would you?
Wide receiving core?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody better. I mean, worse than them.
I don't know now. Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm trying. Like I said, I'm running through it in my head. You know, I can't think anybody worse than them. So, you know, adding Vic, I think it's going to call. I mean, I think you're going to have another quarterback controversy because, you know, I don't think Geno is going to come out hot, you know, and then, you know, people are going to call for Vic. You know Vic, you know, he comes in, he'll be hot, but, you know, I think at this point in his career, we know he's not the answer for any team. So, you know, it's, I don't know about that, you know, like I said, I don't know about that, you know. To me, I mean, honestly, like I said, I'm not trying to be a USC homer. I think they might have been better. I know they couldn't keep Sanchez, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I think Sanchez is a better quarterback than Geno Smith. But, you know, I think you know, that I wish he didn't go to Philadelphia. But, you know, I think that he can possibly go somewhere else and, you know, and restart his career. But anyway, what do you think about this Michael Vick signing and, you know, in New York?
Well, first and foremost, since we have been in off-season in this show, we do a lot of our conversating on Facebook and other venues. And I want to say, first and foremost, that I called this, and everybody told me I was crazy. I said, Michael Vick is going to go to a team up north. You don't remember having this conversation? We had this conversation, and everybody was talking about where he would go, and he could go to Atlanta, and he could go to Tampa, and he could do this. And I kept telling you, ain't no team in the South going to take Michael Vick. Why? Because he's a dog-killing nigger, and that's all they care about. He's not going to any team in the Bible Belt. You can forget it. And I told y'all, he's going to a team up north. He's either going to the Jets or he's going to the Bills. And he went to the Jets. Again, Tony Watley sounds like Nostradamus.
I don't think you said that. I think that sounded,
again, Tony Watley sounds like Nostradamus.
As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think who you say. I don't think you said that about Vic. You said that about somebody else. But,
No.
Like
we
said,
were talking about Michael Vick. We were talking Michael Vick, and everybody was talking about where he'd go, talking about Lovey would take him, and I kept telling
it doesn't matter what a coach thinks. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what an owner thinks.
No, that's not what we were talking about. No, we were talking about Michael Sam, and you were saying that no place in the Bible Belt would take Michael Sam.
Yeah, Sam's was another one. But we also were talking about the trade with Vic. And I was telling you that because he had the folks, you could forget it in the South. There was no way he was going to get picked up in the South. You could forget it.
I don't know.
Yes, you know, yeah, I said the same thing about Sam and being gay. Him and Vic could be twins in their situation when it comes to these conservative white folks. It's the truth.
I mean, let me ask you, I mean, what Vic are we looking at? I mean, this is a dude, which is sad to say because it makes me feel old. This is a man that's been in the league for 14 years now. Is this really even news? Do you think he can go into New York and become a starter?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I think he can go to New York, start, and win the AFC East.
Wow.
But that's because I told you, me and you, we're going to talk about Brady whenever we talk about him, but I really think that the New England Patriots are on the downslide, and the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets are on the up. And I see New England going down, Miami and the Jets going up. I see that.
I agree on the Jets. I agree on Miami, but I mean, I don't know about these Jets, man. Them dudes, like I said, they don't look too good to me.
They're in turmoil because of their coach and their quarterback situation, and you know they got a lot of internal issues going on. But you got to realize the Jets beat New England last year. They got the pieces. They got the pieces. The thing is, they just need to get some consistency. They can't seem to find their consistency. Like when they lost that game to Tampa in the last second, that kind of stuff. Or was it the other way around?
I just got a text from Quazel Mathis saying that you're crazy. And that the Patriots
come on
are
back on here, peanut head.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like I say, I see Miami. I think, you know, like I said, they have the tools in place. I just, you know, like I said, I don't see it coming out of New York. They got too many issues. You know, it would have to take. I'll give them this. If Milner works out, which I think that was pretty much a wasted pick. You know, I think that's when they're going to think that. I mean, that's like, which is another reason why, like I said, I'm not big on Alabama DBs. I think that their linebackers and their O line. No,
I didn't even stop to make that Alabama connection.
Exactly. No, think about it. Him, your boy Barron in Tampa. I mean, I think that their defensive line and their linebacker play was so dominant that it would overcompensate for their DBs and make the DBs look better. But like I said, I mean, you got to think that was pretty much a free pick. They hit it on the head with Sheldon Richardson. I think he's going to be a star. You know that defensive line. They're going to be stars, you know, Wilkinson and all those guys. They're set, you know. So their defense, you know, like I said, their defense is going to be set. You know, it's just getting that offense together. I mean, they got a lot of pieces.
I see Fazil dialing your number right now.
Please, man. Are you crazy, man? Come on, man. Are you crazy, Wiley? You think the Jets, are going to beat the Patriots? You think the Patriots are loading up? With Geno Smith at quarterback?
The Patriots last year.
So, and when it counts, do you think they're going to beat the Patriots then? Come on, man. You're crazy,
yes,
man.
Yes, I do.
They ain't winning no damn division.
I think they're
going
to win the division.
And you really, please let me know what you've been smoking, because that shit ain't happening.
Michael
Anybody
Vick
knows
starts.
That crap.
I said
now,
that
in regards
is
to Alabama
Michael
DBs,
Vick starts.
Now, in regards to Alabama DBs, in regards to your statement about Alabama DBs, D. Miller came on at the end of the year. I'm just saying, D. Miller is a future Pro Bowler. I believe he will be. He's going to be a pretty good player.
And I was just about – but besides this D. Miller –
he came on at the end of the year. He came on at the end of last year.
Okay, but do you understand what I'm saying when I say that the linebacker and the defensive line play overcompensated for those DBs and made them look better than they were?
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I like Dean Doyle. I'm still on him. You know what I mean?
Is he Darrell Revis?
First of all, is he Darrell Revis? Absolutely not. All right, will he ever be Darrell Revis? Absolutely not. All right, but will he be a good DB, somebody like a Nnamdi? Yeah, I think he will be.
I mean, look at other boy in Seattle. He's been looking like a scrub. What is his name? Jefferson? You know who I'm talking about? Oh, Kilpatrick, Dre Kilpatrick, Mike.
Okay, he might be. I mean, I never was big on him anyway.
With your boy Mark Barron. I mean, come on, man.
Mark Barron ain't no scrub. What are you talking about? Mark Barron ain't no scrub. He ain't. He's been disappointing a little bit, but he's not a scrub.
How do you be disappointing in that? I mean, come on, dude. Like I say,
man,
he's not
a perennial Pro Bowler, but he's not a scrub. Mark Barron is not a scrub.
Okay, is he somebody? Okay, well, like I say, Bama benefited off
was he
of
worth,
superior.
All right, let's say this:
play.
Has he lived up to? I'll say this: Has he lived up to his top 10 pick? No, he has not. I'll give you.
No.
That. All right. That's fine.
Well, let me ask you: Have any of the DBs from Alabama in recent pick history lived up to their billing?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll give you that.
At least you're being fair.
Yeah, I mean, I could admit, I'll give you that. But Milner, I think, is the most talented, and I think Milner will be the best one so far out of all the ones that have been out there. And I think Ha Ha Clinton Nix will be a good pro, too. I think he'll be a pretty good pro, too.
With that defensive line that's in New York, I mean, Milner, he should flourish because the line is going to put pressure on the quarterback. That's all they've done. You know, you can't get a much better defensive line than that. You know, so the pieces are in place for him to be successful. It's you know, you can't blame it on anybody else but him. You know.
The offense got to score some points, though, too.
Didn't they pull him out of the starting lineup?
At the beginning of the year, yeah. I mean, they pulled Mo Claiborne out the starting lineup, and everybody thought Mo Claiborne was going to be a pretty good player. So, I mean,
Claiborne is better than Milner.
Yeah, right now, but I'm just saying, everybody was hyped on Mo Claiborne, but, you know, he was kind of a bust a little bit. So, I mean, give these guys some time, man, to come on. I think Milner came on at the end of the year last year. He came on. He was beginning to live up to his grade.
We'll monitor it, but, you know, the track record doesn't, you know, the track record isn't that good. I mean, like I say, Clinton Dix is good, but I've seen people talk about him being a top 10 player, and it's like, is he really a top 10 player? Really?
No, I don't think – well, he looks the part, but I think he's going to be a pretty good pro. It's just going to take him some time.
D. Milner looks the part. You know what?
Yeah, D. Milner looks the part. He looks the part.
I mean, like I said, I mean, if you had a choice between choosing Clinton Dix in the top 10 or picking, you know, LaMarcus Joyner in the end of the first or second round, which one would you make?
Probably LaMarcus Joyner. I won't lie to you. LaMarcus Joyner. All right.
Exactly.
LaMarcus Joyner.
And that's,
I need that.
All I'm saying. I mean, especially with safeties, I mean, Ed Reed was number 20. You know, he was a 20th pick. You know, to me, to stand out to be a safety, you know, and be a high draft pick, you got to be, well, shit, I can't even say Ronnie Lott because he was drafted as a cornerback, but you got to be, well, I was going to say Woodson. He was, too. I mean,
Sean Taylor.
Exactly. Yeah, you'd have to, exactly.
Yeah, I thought Sean Taylor was
a
pretty good player coming out.
Exactly, No lie. You'd have to be somebody like exactly like that. And, I think we can all agree that Clinton Dix is no Sean Taylor.
He's no Sean Taylor. He's not.
So, I mean, you know, that's all I'm trying to say. I've been seeing him get boosted up a lot. And I mean, you know, safeties, you know, the play of safeties depend on a lot on scheme. You know, I mean, I think Tony, I don't know, is that you who said Troy Polamalu was still a top safety? And I'm a USC fan. That dude's not a top safety anymore.
No, said it's time for Troy Polamalu to retire. I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but it is time for him to be done.
Yeah, it was one of my other friends on Facebook, you know. But, I mean, you know, like I say, safety play can be masked by a lot of things, you know. So it's, you know, to me it's, look at how many, you know, look at Roy Williams in Dallas. You know, look how many years people thought we were saying that he was the best safety in the league. And I, you know, like I said, I remember Tex, you know, was one of the people saying that he wasn't that good. You know, and it turned out, dude, wasn't that good. You know.
Well, I'm willing to put you on the spot right now. I will bet you that Clinton Dix goes the top 10 in the draft. I will bet you on national radio right now, Clinton Dix goes in the top 10 picks in the draft.
Yeah, he'll probably go in the top 10. He'll probably go.
Y'all talking all this craziness. That boy is bad. And I'm
barring
telling
any,
he's good. He'll go in the
barring,
top 10 of
any,
the draft.
Barring any trade.
He's good, but he wasn't. His college career wasn't as good as Mark Barron's. Mark,
I
don't think
Mark
Barron
was top 10.
Barron was what,
I
a 2 or 3 year All-American?
Yeah, Barron was like a 2-3-time All-American, yeah.
I bet he goes in the top 10.
He's going in the top 10.
Barring any trades, Clinton Dix does not go in the top 10.
No, he's going in the top 10. He looks the part.
Make that bet.
Okay.
Well,
the other thing is, you know, he had that whole issue. He had that whole issue with the eligibility. He took money from the trainer or some crap like that. He won't go further than 15. He won't go further down than 15.
Top 10. Where is he going to go?
Let me look at the teams who need a quarter. Let me look at the teams.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the lineup. I'd have to look at the team.
Houston at number one. St. Louis at number two. Jacksonville at number three. Cleveland at number four. Oakland at number five. I think Atlanta at number six. Minnesota
Atlanta.
Seven. Who?
Maybe Atlanta.
I really can't.
Atlanta got Thomas Dekuh, who's a Pro Bowler, and Thomas Dekuh, I don't know if everybody knows, he also went to a large metropolitan high school in Northern California, known as Pano Valley High School, which has one of the greatest high school football teams of all time. But anyway, yeah, no, he's not going to Atlanta. He's not going there, because all that high school and all that area does is produce professional football players. So he's not going there. But I mean, like I say, where else could he go? You got teams that are going to be looking for offensive linemen and quarterbacks. You know, and I mean, is it, you know, are you taking him over? You know, are you going to take him over you're not going to take him over a Clowney. You're not going to take him over a Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews. You're not going to take him over a Khalil Mack. I wouldn't take him over Anthony Barr, even though, Barr is, you know, people kind of getting cool on him. I still think he's going to be a solid top 10 pick. Sammy Watkins. And then you got the three quarterbacks. And that's your top 10 right there.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Prove me, where does he fit in? Show me wrong.
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with the draft.
Exactly. I can't see. Honestly, he fits in with the Tennessee Titans. Where are the Titans?
Okay, that's the other team. I think the Titans are 9 or 10.
Huh?
I think the Titans are around 9
or 10.
Yeah,
I think. Right, and I think that's where he fits. I think he fits in like a Detroit Lions, Tennessee Titans, maybe Bills, somewhere in there.
You think the Titans are going to take him over O linemen?
All them defenses suck.
And those are the defenses where
they need that safety to cover that star quarterback. The Bills need a safety for Tom Brady.
They're going to take – but, I don't know. Bills are a possibility. I mean, to me,
you feel me?
The
Bills need a safety for Tom Brady. Do they not?
I don't see him going to the Titans. I think the Titans are going to go O-line. Or, you know, they are – like I said, they might even go wide receiver. You know, they lost Kenny Britt, so they're going to have to get some weapons for Locker and some protection for him. And, you know, and they're losing Chris Johnson, too, so – I see them going offensive, you know, offense with their first pick. Bills are a possibility.
Them Minnesota needs a safety. Them boys get blowed out.
Minnesota got to pick a quarterback.
I agree, but I mean they also need a safety because those teams that just let teams throw all over them. They need a safety. Teams like Buffalo.
I'm not arguing. Well, I am arguing the talent of Clinton Dix, but I'm arguing the subject. To me, you don't pick a safety in the first half of the draft period. You know, I mean, it's too much. It's not an impact position unless you get a guy like a young Troy Polamalu or a Sean Taylor. You know, I mean, how many impact safeties have we seen get drafted in recent times besides those two dudes? And, you know, and like I said, those are, you know, two of the cats who I can see, okay, you justify a top, you know, first half, top 15, top 20 pick. I mean, besides that, you know, it's not an impact position.
I know, but like, for example, they got all of this offense, but they lose. Why? Because their defense sucks. They could use a safety. The Bills, they do a pretty good job on offense, but their defense gets blasted. The Tennessee Titans' defense gets blasted. The Minnesota Vikings, their defense gets blasted. They could use
those
a safety.
All teams
could use a
but
safety.
But I'm saying, though, those are all teams that have a higher priority at different positions, though.
I agree. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, like I said, if your defense is garbage, are you gonna take Clinton Dix over Khalil Mack or over Anthony Barr?
I can't say yes. I really can't, but I just see Dix being the top safety. I see him being the first safety off the board.
That's another thing. I can't think of his name, but they're saying dude out of Louisville, they're saying he might be the top safety. I can't think of his name right now, but they're saying he might be the top. Shit, I didn't see drafts with old boy from TCU. I mean, I forget what it is. Either it's TCU or Oklahoma State. I can't think of his name right now, but I've seen him. You know, I've seen drafts where a quarterback has been, you know, has gotten that top 10 pick from, you know, from Tennessee.
You honestly think a safety from Louisville is going to be better than a safety from Auburn?
Alabama.
I mean, Alabama? Excuse me.
And yes, Alabama safety stinks.
Come on. Come on.
I mean, like I say, it'll, you know.
No.
It'll,
yeah, Taylor Mays. I know Taylor Mays. Taylor Mays is really great. I know that. Dude sucks.
Personally, I stay out of y'all's Alabama and women's college conversation.
You notice how he went to the one USC draft pick that's been a bust.
Taylor Mays.
I mean,
yeah, Joe Washington's great, right?
Past Troy Polamalu,
Joe Washington's great,
Taylor
right?
Mays,
Joe Washington's great, right?
Huh?
Reggie Bush lived up the expectations, right? Reggie Bush lived up the expectations?
Reggie Bush had a Super Bowl ring?
Now you being mean, Clausell. Don't be mean.
You mean Reggie Bush, who has a Super Bowl ring and who fits in very nicely in Detroit and could
so?
Very easily.
I mean, what the hell, Gene? I mean, Upshaw from the Ravens has a Super Bowl ring. What do you mean? What's that supposed to mean?
Ooh.
Upshaw from the Ravens, who won the national championship with Alabama. What's that supposed to mean? Terrence Cody has a national
ring.
Super Bowl
I'm talking
ring.
About dudes who contribute.
They contributed too.
Like I said,
yeah,
man,
and you know
I've
really
I've
don't even want to get into
like
your highs and lows.
All right, I'm listening. I gotta get back to studying, but I'm listening,
exactly,
man.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this one last thing about this Alabama. Alabama is a dominant force in college football. It's silly to say anything.
Of all time.
Like
all
I said
time.
Before, and I'll say again, there are two.
He needs you to add that caveat there, Cali Mike.
When you think of college to NFL football factories, there are two schools that come to mind, USC and University of Miami. Alabama is nowhere
USC?
Near those schools.
The Cal Golden Bears have better quality players than USC. Cal Golden
Leave
Bears.
Leave alone. Leave it alone.
All right, I'll leave it alone.
Let him get on his soapbox. Go ahead. All finish, right. Cali Mike.
All right,
like
bye.
I said,
please.
When you look at college to NFL football factories, there's only two schools. That's USC and Miami. You don't see Alabama anywhere near those two schools.
All right, are we back from break? I mean, come on.
We're getting
Let
back. We're getting into reality. I know you. Like I said, I know you guys like to get off on this SEC thing, but then when somebody mentions the truth, it has to be fantasy land.
Oh wow! Here we go.
Never,
are you finished,
never,
or do
you guys
we need
never
to
worry
keep
about
listening?
Proving a point wrong? It's just always assumed wrong because it's something you guys don't like. Which, like I said, is
yeah.
SEC logic. You know, but logic
yeah,
also
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
well in the SEC anyway. So I choose
yeah.
not to worry about it. But anyway. Anyway, we're coming into our last couple of minutes here. Tony, you have anything you want to hit up?
I wanted to talk about Tom Brady, and I mean, we kind of keep hitting on it and not hitting on it, but I really think that as awesome as Tom Brady is, I really see him on his downswing. I think he is in his swan song, and I think as go Tom Brady – so goes the New England Patriots, and I see New England falling. I see that Miami team being a much better team this year because they were fairly impressive last year. And if, and this is the key, if Michael Vick is the starter for the New York Jets, they will win the Eastern Division of the AFC.
Goodness. Simply stunning, folks. All right, let me bring in a caller. We got an 850 here. Hey, what's going on? You're on CFT Firestorm.
Yo, man. I guess Clausell had to step back because, I mean, y'all still talk about D. Milner, and I told you about him last year, right? And now we're talking about Clinton Dix, and the thing about it is, like you said, the thing about the safety position is it's not like a, you know, highly coveted position. Now, as far as, like, NFL draft picks, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's kind of hard to see any safety being in the top 10 in the NFL draft, regardless of who the team is and what the team needs are. Because, like I said, usually team needs are the same every year, quarterback, offensive lineman, or someone in the defensive front. Safeties is, like, rare. It's almost like running backs now. As far as, like, you know, do we need a running back or a safety first? You don't usually get that from the top 10 pick.
Exactly. And I think,
so
you're
telling me, where do you see the first safety going?
Possibly within the 11 and 15. Like it was said before, you got to look at the teams, see what the team needs are, but I don't really see, like, if it's going to be that high, it would be between 11 and 15. No lower than 15.
Like I
though.
Said, I don't even know who the top 15, 20 teams are. I'm not on
well,
my
okay,
computer.
Well, okay, let's look. You got the Rams. I know the Rams have two picks that are going to be in the top 15. So with that second pick, maybe they might take
a safety. I don't think he's
going
to go to the Rams.
Huh?
I don't think he's going to go to the Rams.
In the 14th or 15th pick?
No. Like I said, I told you the teams I think needs him. Buffalo needs him. You got to go with the teams that got them quarterbacks that like to throw the ball down the field.
What about your team, the Buffalo? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 15.
No, that ain't right now.
Oh,
that is
not
their biggest need. A safety, because they got Polamalu. A safety is not their biggest need at the moment. Not as their first pick in their draft.
I don't know. Like I said, I'll go over the top 10 teams again. You got Houston at number one, St. Louis at number two, Jacksonville number three, Cleveland number four, the Raiders number five, Atlanta number six, Tampa number seven, Minnesota number eight, Buffalo number nine, and Detroit number 10. And
didn't Tampa get rid of their safety?
They got rid of their corner.
Oh, their corner.
I don't know about this. Yeah.
Okay. I remember they got rid of Revis.
Yeah. But okay. I don't know if they got rid of anybody else on that back four. So I wouldn't think they'll probably end up, you know, the Bucks will probably end up picking up that linebacker. Khalil Mack.
Right.
I can't really say.
I don't know draft picks. I just know I look at weaknesses in teams, and there are certain teams that I just see a weak, like Buffalo, Tennessee Titans, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings. Those teams they get blasted. They get blasted on the defensive side by those long balls, and they could use a Clinton Dix.
Yeah.
Well, I would see, like, you know, Minnesota or Detroit probably using them since, you know, like with Minnesota, they have to deal with Rodgers and for Detroit, the quarterback for Detroit, Stafford,
yeah.
Yeah, so – you know, I could probably see, you know, them, you know, probably going out on the limb and getting Clinton Dix in that pick.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota, Buffalo, Detroit, the Tennessee Titans, those are the teams I say they need them, because when you ask them to play, they can play with you for three quarters. But that defense gets tired in the fourth quarter, and then that quarterback starts airing it out on them, and they get blasted. That's how they lose their games. Fourth quarter, them teams lose by not being able to keep up with them wide receivers down the field.
Okay, I think this is Mel Kiper's draft. He has you guys taking a this is Todd McShay. Todd McShay has you guys taking Clinton Dix at number 15. So
who the
Steelers?
Tampa Bay.
Steelers.
Steelers.
Steelers. Oh.
Now, that would be interesting. I mean, I think we need it because I think it's time for Troy to retire. I really do.
I mean
he was an awesome player. I love him, but it's time to go.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you guys a quick question real quick while I got you on here because we only got a couple of minutes left. We're talking about Tampa. You guys talked about Tampa a little bit. What do you guys think about them naming Josh McCown the cornerback and putting Mike Glennon back on the bench? I mean, I thought Glennon was doing okay. I mean, do you guys think that's justified? I could see if it was somebody else, but Josh McCown? I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I'll wait until preseason to figure out which one of those two is the starting quarterback for the Bucs.
I mean, seriously, if I'm Mike Glennon, I'm down there asking for a trade, you know?
Well, maybe that's why Lovey did it. Maybe Lovey's trying to tell him, you know, I don't have any confidence in you, and maybe you should go look for somebody else.
That's a good point. I mean, pretty much, that's, you know, that's surprise. I mean, it did surprise me they signed somebody, but I mean, damn, to, you know, as soon as you sign them,
but
he's our starting quarterback.
To announce him as a starter, like, you know, right now.
Exactly what I'm saying.
He might be making a statement to Glennon. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. When they took Glennon out of, wasn't it North Carolina State?
Yeah.
Glennon ain't worth it. He is not. There is no way I'd have wasted a draft pick on him. You could have got him in free agency. Who was going to take him? He is not that good.
I mean, he wasn't that good, but, you know, I wouldn't say that he was, you know. I mean, he's been serviceable, man, you know.
Serviceable doesn't mean you waste a draft pick on him. It ain't like somebody else was sitting around waiting on him.
Yeah. Let's get
you got that right.
Let's get Matt on here. I want to hear what he has to say about it. Big Matt, what's going on, man?
How y'all doing?
All right. Good.
Well, you know, it honestly, if you're thinking about the strategic side and you're playing chess and not checkers, what you do is you say, hey, listen, this guy's my starting quarterback. Enough said. You're not worried about quarterback controversy. Take some things out of the headline, kind of shuts the media up so they're not poking around looking for things. Could mean you end up taking a quarterback with his number 7 pick. I'm just saying. It's strategy. Strategy. I like them to pick a lineman because they signed a lineman. They said Carl Nix is coming along better, and a center. I mean, so they got 3 guys that are legit, but what about the ends? You know, those tackles aren't going to hold up. I mean, that's where the issues they had. They got rid of Zuta for a 5th-round pick next year. I don't know. I still think offensive lineman is going to be their best pick at 7. However, when we're talking about Glennon, I have a source that was very close to Greg Schiano that told me, that he spoke with him in confidence, and he said they had never intended on making Mike Glennon the starter. They intended on drafting him, and then trading him down the road. Their intention was to sign Josh Freeman long-term. Josh Freeman fell on his face. Snowball got bigger and bigger as it rolled down the hill. And it's, you know, obviously the play on the field, you know, kind of destroyed that. So they let him go. So that's what I was told from a source that's close to Schiano. But Schiano told him in confidence. They were planning on trading Glennon, you know, for 2nd-round pick or multiple, like a 3rd and a 5th or something like that. You know, using him as an investment pick. You know, maybe you're going to be able to get something down the road for him. Give me a 3rd and 6th or 3rd and 5th or something like that later on for him. So. Because he obviously doesn't look like the drool over particular quarterback, but we have to look at what are pro sports these days. Everybody is expected to perform now. The only people that aren't expected to perform now are college basketball coaches, but they control their schedule, so they get more time. Other than that, everybody's expected to perform now. You got to win now. You got to start now. You got to be a Pro Bowler now. You got to get the stats now. I mean, I don't understand how after a guy's first year in the league, you can say he's a flop. Most professional football players should be developing over the first 3 to 5 years. So I don't know after 1 year. See, that's why I kept saying, I told Booger McFarland this. I told Ian Beckles. I'm like, I don't know how you could say you see him play one his first year in the league, you say he's a flop. I mean, you know when he comes in the second year, he's going to be a little bit better. He's going to have some more know-it-all because he's going to have a whole offseason preparing for the NFL, not having to worry about the draft. The game slows down for him.
That's
second,
why they spend
year.
So much money right now, Matt. They spend the money to have you NFL ready on day one. And it's one of those situations
they don't
where
that much money now. The new CBA cut that back. They extended the first round contracts to 5 years, and they cut back how much they're paying them. They pay less now. They're getting a bargain. That's why they're willing
to
gamble more on people in the first round.
Right. I just,
that's true.
That's
me,
why Mark Barron
I
went, what,
that...
ninth?
Because
the Buccaneers have two strong safeties. They got Mark Barron playing free safety, knowing damn well he does not play no coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I don't know. I wouldn't have taken Glennon, period. When they took him out of North Carolina State, my first words was, who is Glennon?
Well, I think those are your words
I mean,
with anybody that doesn't cover an SEC,
that's
right?
Because you're
ahead.
An SEC fan, that's why.
Exactly.
All you watch is SEC. Because anything outside the SEC, what's that?
Stop
you're like,
football.
Who's UCLA?
No, come on now. He was not
who's
that
UCLA?
Good a player. He was not that good a player. He wasn't a draft player. You going to tell me they couldn't have passed on him and picked him up in free agency? Somebody would have picked him
and
up
y'all
if he was
just,
that good?
Let's do this. How about the SEC stop and smell the roses for a little bit? I'm just saying. Did y'all really?
Well, because we don't
really
play in the Rose Bowl. That's why we don't stop to smell the roses. That's a situation
well,
of them.
Like you're
on
hey, yeah, you know why that is? Because the SEC doesn't travel anywhere. That's why.
Whatever. Ask them cupcakes out west in that.
Y'all smell the roses if y'all travel everywhere.
Yeah.
I'll give the props. ACC travels all over the place.
That's because
Miami's
they need
going
to
go
Lincoln. Find talent.
No,
well, they just now start showing the new off season schedules. LSU and I think it's UCLA scheduled a home and home for I think 2020 or something like that or 2021. Once again, though, one of the only schools who has not scheduled any tough out of conference games is University of Florida.
Alabama's playing Oklahoma State. Alabama's going to play Oklahoma State. Alabama.
Who are they
no,
playing?
No, my bad. They're playing Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, my bad. They're playing Virginia Tech.
Who?
Alabama.
You said Virginia Tech?
Yeah, Alabama's playing
you,
Virginia Tech.
You
that's
bossing about,
game.
You bossing about Vaughn.
It hasn't been good since they had Michael Vick.
That's not true. What are you talking about? That's not true. You're talking about they haven't been good since they had Michael Vick. That's not true. But...
Yes, it is.
And hold on. I want to respond to Matt's statement.
I want to respond to Matt's statement
about this inside source. Okay, you got an inside source, but then there's another inside source that contradicts what you're saying that was released by ESPN that said that Schiano's not sold on Freeman. So which inside source is correct? Who is Schiano? So that says that Schiano's the one that's lying. We don't even know if Schiano's telling the truth. What'd you say?
Schiano wasn't. He's a college coach. He wants to create competition. He says, I'm not – and that wasn't an inside source. He said that in the press conference.
No, but you said there's a source. No, but you said there's a source that said that Shiano was planning on trading what's his name?
Glennon.
And
signing Freeman Glennon long-term.
And signing Freeman long-term. But then there's another source that said that Shiano's not even sold on Freeman. So we don't even know what Shiano was even telling the truth or not then, if that's the case.
He's saying that's what the long-term goal was.